Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of the CF Rundown is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com. Fall camp is about 2 weeks away from getting started, and that means that football season is just around the corner, 46 days away from right now. It means you got to get your new Cyclone flag, or maybe if you support another team, you know, the NFL obviously is coming up right behind that as well. So get your flag from Heartland Flags or heartlandflags.com to put in your man cave out in front of your house or whatever, maybe even up at your tailgate, whatever you need it for in order to sport your favorite team's colors this fall during the football season. Heartland Flags and heartlandflags.com, the presenting sponsor of the CF Rundown. Rob Gray, what's up, my man?
How much? How you doing? I'm fresh back from recently from another week at the cabin in Minnesota. Relatively uneventful, except I don't know if you all have had this, but I did some swimming in the lake. Beautiful, clear lake there around Nisswa and Lower Cullen. And I got a little water in my ear. And it's
won't come out?
It's kind of persisting there.
Yeah.
And I might just have to check out the Iowa Clinic and set something up, because you don't want a bunch of...
Is your, like, equilibrium all messed up now?
It's not that bad. It kind of feels like it opens and closes a little bit. So I don't know if I got a little eardrum inflammation or something that just kind of sits behind. But that's no fun. But everything else about that is great. And I will say, Heartland Flags-wise, my Cubs flag is flying very proudly heading into the... I'm sorry about the upheaval. But no. I think people wanted that to happen in St. Louis. So
yeah, it needed to happen. But welcome to the bedroom studio.
Yes.
This is...
Everything's made out of gold.
Yeah, something like that. No,
well, gold. Colored.
Yeah. We had to record in my bedroom today. My bed is on the floor because my dog still can't jump up on the bed because she likes to eat crap and then has to have surgery to get it taken out. So that's always fun. Chris,
I would just want to say I'm glad that it wasn't, you know, that can be a lot worse.
Oh, yeah. It definitely could have been worse. Luckily, my boss knew an okay doctor. But Chris, obviously down at Big 12 Media Days in Dallas right now, has done podcasts with David Montgomery, Kyle Kemp, Ray Lima, Brian Peavy. And with those four guys, we've both interviewed them so many times at this point that I don't think there's really anything that they said on there that we haven't heard them say, you know, 50 times.
Yep. And this is all a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this points to stability. And I like how, I mean, everything feels the same as last year to some degree, although I would say it probably was picked ninth, maybe eighth. I can't remember what it was.
I think it was ninth, yeah.
Because no one was sure how far Baylor would fall.
Yeah.
I mean, this is exactly what you want. This is uneventful. This is, these guys are on watch lists. Oh, you're picked seventh, even though you won eight games and upset Oklahoma and TCU. Well, I think seventh is about right. I mean, when people are going to look at the league, they're going to look at it and say, well, these teams, they're still going to look at tradition to some degree. And you're still going to look at those rosters. There's nothing unimpressive about West Virginia's roster. There's nothing unimpressive about Oklahoma State's roster. Excuse me, Kansas State's.
Yeah.
It may be arguable. But all the teams picked ahead of them, and I think most everyone who noted what they would have pegged everybody 1 through 10 said anything from 3 to 7 or 3 to 8 or 2 to 8 or whatever. You know, that's very fluid. A lot of things could change. They just feel like Oklahoma's head and shoulders. And at this point, you have to assume that, given the talent they have, despite uncertainty at quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think for me that I wasn't necessarily surprised to see Iowa State picked there as much as I think that they're going to finish better than that.
Exactly.
You know, like that's more – it's more about that than it is about like being, oh, my God, like how'd they pick them at seventh? I mean, I pretty much fully expected them to get picked at seventh, honestly. That's just – that seemed like the most logical spot to me when I looked at it from a, you know, outside view or like a broad view, I suppose. But – I feel like the team is good enough. They're going to be good enough to where they're going to – I'm pretty confident that they're going to finish better than seventh place, even though that seemed like the most logical landing spot for them in the preseason poll.
Yeah, based on all the preseason is based not only on last year, but based on the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how everyone approaches that, it's sort of a subconscious sort of thing when you do these things. And I've done it when I covered Missouri Valley Conference basketball. I did when I, covered Big 12 football. But I mean, you just kind of revert to what's the trend been. And Iowa State upset that trend in a huge way, in a great way, obviously, from our perspective at Cyclone Fanatic and for Cyclone fans last season. But the question will always be sustain it. And if you're not from around Ames, if you're not around the buzz that we're around as frequently as we are, that's a question mark.
Yeah.
For us, I mean, I think it would be a shock if there were a step back this season. I think it does qualify as a shock. I'd be shocked if they took a step back. Now, I would not be shocked if they had a season like last year. Maybe a couple of close games swung the other way or something happened, or you got a knock on wood, it doesn't happen, a really, really tough injury to a guy in a key spot. But, I see nowhere but at least that level of success and probably up. I mean, if you look at 5-4 is going to land you above 7th.
Yeah.
I think there are going to be a lot of 6-3, 5-4, 4-5 teams, and then probably an 0-10 team.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. That's why it's all exciting and to think about it. And you know there are going to be surprises, and you just hope Iowa State's going to deliver some more positive ones this season.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think that, I know that Chris did podcasts with Bruce Feldman and Joel Klatt, and I think both of them are even optimistic about what Iowa State can do. But I still think that from a national perspective, everybody's kind of like, okay, you did it once. We got to see it again, like, before we're really going to jump in on the Iowa State bandwagon,
Yep.
And if they can do it two times, then all of a sudden maybe it changes a little bit to where everybody's like, okay, now this is legit.
Yeah.
Like, they've done it twice. And I mean...
And the recruiting classes keep building like they have. That gives you a reaffirmation that, okay, that they're doing it on the field, and also that's translating more success on the trail, which should lead to more consistency in doing it on the field.
Well, I think back to the Paul Rhodes years, those first 2 years when they went to bowl games. And even though they're having some success on the field and they're winning some of these games and upsetting some teams and stuff like that, they weren't having that success on the recruiting trail that you just mentioned. And it just seemed like they would slip up at points where it was like, geez, like, they just can't get out of their own way. And if they're able to get over that hump this year where they win some games against some good teams, and in the games that they are supposed to win, they win all of them, then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I think this thing has really changed, And that's what I think really changed, like, where you could kind of see things changing last year when you get all the big wins over, Oklahoma and TCU and whoever else, and then you go down to Baylor and you get that win. And that would normally have been a game that I think Iowa State would have had been in a prime position to slip up in, going down to Waco. And they didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that really showed a lot of the maturity of the program, the way it's trending, when they were able to do that. And if they can do that 2 years in a row, and you can sprinkle in another win in there, like if they could have won in Morgantown, or if they could have won that last
game.
Yeah, if they could have won that game against Oklahoma State, then all of a sudden
Manhattan.
Some of these media guys will look at it and be like, dang, like, okay, now this is legit. Like, mm-hmm. This is not just a fluke where they're winning a couple games that they shouldn't every year.
Yeah, and the front-loaded schedule, I mean, it's so critical to get, it is a different vibe. I mean, sometimes I felt like success under Rhodes, because unfortunately there were so many misses and some mishaps too on the recruiting trail, was by sheer willpower alone.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually that's going to dry up. And, it goes back to his quote with you and Dan about the guy it takes a guy or two, and then, boy, all kinds of things can slip. When you just get that, that evaporates eventually. And you go to Campbell's players, plays, formations, and, the players keep coming.
Yeah.
And it keeps ratcheting up. It becomes a fail-safe structure, mm-hmm. geared toward winning. And yes, you have to have that willpower, and you have to, but there were times, when they beat Oklahoma State in 2011, Oklahoma State was a legit national championship contender, and they just got on a roll in that game that it was like, it was literally a David versus Goliath game. And Oklahoma State had the adversity. They lost people in that horrible crash from women's basketball. So I'm sure there are reverberations of that throughout all the athletic programs. But Iowa State was just on fire that day, whereas Oklahoma started to feel like that last year because they're down a couple touchdowns early. Yeah. Then they get on a roll. But then once they got to the lead and they might have given it up once or whatever, you're like, they're legit as good as these guys. Mm-hmm. It's not, oh my gosh, they're playing out of their minds. And that's what you got out of TCU. And Baylor, as you said, a prime example of a game where they didn't play by any stretch, anything approaching their best game. But the defense bowed up and was great. And the offense, you know, struggled to put points on the board. But you still managed to secure that win. And you never feel like it's in jeopardy.
Right.
Because of how good the team looks. And I think on paper, and they look even better this year. Now, the rest of the Big 12, we'll see. But this is not blind optimism this season. This is a very very well informed optimism and well reasoned as we look forward to the start of fall camp and then that opening game against South Dakota State.
Rob, I want you to promise that you'll abstain from any power drinking over the fall.
Yeah. Well, usually we head out at halftime, you know, and take down about an 18 pack, right? They let us back in, though.
Right.
You know, but of course, we don't do that. But, yeah, Bob Bowlsby is always an interesting quote. Good leader for the Big 12. There's no doubt about that at the top of the league. But the talk about serving alcohol at games and all that was interesting. And, you know, Chris cranked out a lot of good stuff, and there's more to come. And there's allusions to that, but also you know, so many other things that he wrote about the D-line, and, I mean, just a lot of great stuff to consume on CycloneFanatic.com.
David Montgomery and from Robert Smith, that was really good. And then all those podcasts that he did yesterday are worth listening to as well. So get on the site, check those out, and I don't think you will regret it. We'll talk a little bit about basketball here when we come back. You're listening to the CF Rundown on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines, so we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed like in the back of my neck. It was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, you know, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, you know, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. I'm really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to the CF Rundown. Summer League wraps up Tuesday night. Lakers and Blazers, I think, playing for the Summer League Championship.
The preview of the Western Conference Finals.
okay, Rob.
Yeah, well, but what was it last year? Lakers and who? The Summer League Championship.
Can't remember who they played.
Neither of them, of course.
Yeah, the Lakers. The Lakers playing for the Dynasty.
Yeah,
the Dynasty.
There you go, the Summer League Dynasty.
Their illustrious second consecutive NBA Summer League Championship.
Translated into how many regular season wins?
Probably around 20.
Oh, yeah. They were still in the 20s?
20,
okay.
20 or 30, something like that. Not very many.
Yeah.
We'll put it that way. Not very many. George Niang has signed a multiple-year deal with the Utah Jazz, a guaranteed NBA contract. This is actually his second NBA contract since in his rookie season, the two-way deals did not exist yet. Mm-hmm. When he signed with the Indiana Pacers. But either way, I think this one's a lot different because I think that based on what we've seen from George in the summer league, based on his performances in the G League in the past several seasons, I think we're getting into a position where that guy is going to have an opportunity to work his way onto being onto a final roster, spending the majority of the season there, and potentially getting himself onto the court.
Absolutely. That was my sentiment exactly as far as that goes. To keep grinding away at it like that, keep producing and keep working. I mean, those are the hallmarks of George. I mean, I remember writing about it and the funny things that he used to say about being a chubby kid and all that stuff, but he always worked.
Yeah.
And it took a while for the body stuff to kick in, but think it how much better of a player he is now that's become, you know, discipline beyond just working on moves and playing a good game has just permeated his life, and you couldn't be happier. Shouldn't be able to be any happier than you are for George in this case. And I wouldn't be surprised if he could be a guy who does he play every night? No.
No. But if he does, it's not very many minutes.
Yeah, I mean, there might be a game where he gets 8 to 10 minutes or something, but most of the time he's probably not seeing the floor. But nonetheless, you've proved yourself worthy to be in the league and stay in a roster. I just hope it remains to be so for George.
I do think that he will eventually work his way into being a rotational guy because I think he's got a skill set that is going to be very valuable to NBA teams here in the next several years. I just don't know that would happen this year.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how Utah's roster shakes out for a guy like him to jump right in and be a rotational dude. I'd have to do more research on that kind of thing. But regardless, it's cool to see him, you know, signing a guaranteed deal. And the thing that's even cooler is that two-way that Utah had used on him previously, they turn right around and they give it to his best friend, Naz Mitri-Long, who he had previously been signed to a two-way deal with the Jazz last year. And then they waived him, assigned him to their G League team, and then signed George. So now they're back reversing roles again to an extent, and now Naz is going to get another opportunity on a two-way contract, and I think based on his summer league performance as well, like he's a guy that is going to continue to have an opportunity to work. It was maybe closer to what George did in his rookie season, and we saw what George did in year two when he was playing in the G League. He goes and becomes a first team all G League player. If Naz can have a second season like that, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him end up on somebody's roster here in the next several years as well.
Yeah, I mean, how great that these guys who forged this bond, you know, one from around Toronto and one from around Boston, that became roommates and then best friends and two of the greatest leaders of Iowa State basketball and two of the greatest interviews, character guys, stand-up guys, get to reunite in this way. And then, like as you said, Naz is, I mean, I think there's still room for him to grow. And I know he feels that way. And if it could progress, as you described right there, I mean, what a dream scenario, not only for fans of Iowa State who love to see those guys together, but, you know, for them and, of course, for Utah, because you've got guys that, you know, Naz expanded his game. He was simply a three-point shooter early on.
Yeah.
And then he worked on his driving game, and I think that's continues to improve. And his defense improved and all the things, the passing. They've got varied skill sets. And, you know, that's great to see. And obviously we've got Monte as well on the two-way with Denver.
Yeah. And I was, you know, I'm a little surprised that they, at least at this point, don't seem to be making moves to get him onto a full NBA deal. But he does have one more year on that two-way contract, so he could spend another year playing in the G League, playing, you know, coming up and playing sparingly for the NBA team. And I do think eventually he will end up on a full NBA contract, whether that be with the Jazz or
Nuggets.
Or be with somebody else. But he played well enough in the summer league to prove that he is more than good enough to be a backup point guard in the NBA right now today, you know, and maybe, and when I saw that the Nuggets had gone and signed Isaiah Thomas for, even if it was for a veteran minimum contract, I was kind of like, man, that, like, I get what they're trying to do, kind of, yeah, because I know that you are trying to see if maybe you can catch lightning in a bottle, like what Isaiah Thomas had done 2 years ago with
before
the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Yeah, with before he got hurt. But when you've got a young guy in your organization already that has proven to be good enough to handle this role, and you know he's not going to be a problem in the locker room, you know that he's going to come in and work hard every single day and bring it bring it to the best of his ability. I would like to see them give that guy a chance. And I think even the Nuggets fans that I've seen on Twitter, they would have liked to see them give him a chance rather than going and signing a guy like Isaiah Thomas. But I guess we'll see. If the only thing that he can do now is continue to go and try and impress in the G League. And if he can do that, then he's going to get an opportunity. And like I said, whether that's with the Nuggets, I don't know. But someone is going to give him a chance because the guy's just too good to not get a chance.
Oh, no doubt. And that's the positive out of this. I mean, what it makes me question is the wisdom in Denver's front office. As you said, I mean, the stats he put up and the way he looked on the court, there's no question he's a capable backup NBA point guard. And potentially a very, very, very good backup NBA point guard. But it's all, again, other teams have noticed how he plays too,
right,
as you alluded to, and whether it works out with Denver or not, that speaks to their organization, because he will end up, barring the types of bad things that derail careers like potentially Isaiah Thomas's, he's going to catch on, and he's going to be a contributor in the league for years to come.
I think we could probably talk for another 20 minutes about the other stuff with Monte, but it might just be best to leave that whole situation alone for today. I'll save that for a podcast with Fitzy or something like that. All right. The last guy I think is actually the one I am most interested in seeing how he performs in the G League this winter. And then hopefully, ends up on an NBA deal, play some games with the NBA team. That's Deonte Burton.
Mm-hmm.
Signed a two-way contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder last week. And then he comes out and has a monster summer league performance, hits the game winner, throws down some insane dunks that, if you've watched Deonte Burton for a long time, were not surprising to see at all. That behind-the-back move that he had when he just he left the guy in the dust and went up and dunked it was so vintage Burton,
yep,
that it wasn't even funny. I mean, that was just so. If I had to pick one move to personify Deonte Burton, that would be it. And I'm so happy for him because I really feel like he's got the talent to stick in the NBA, and I think he ended up in a pretty good spot where I think he's going to get an opportunity to work his way into playing for that team too.
Yeah, and to go from really wondering what his pro potential is, I think, because he was so, when he was on, man, he was a force of nature, as we know. But when he wasn't, there was that lack of consistency kind of,
right,
with him coming out. And, he went and played overseas. I'm sure that seasoned him not only, more so as a human than as a player, to spend the season in a cup that, completely foreign, in South Korea,
uh-huh,
and play well there. Come back and get himself into this situation. How great for him! And it says a lot about his desire and excuse me, and work ethic to put himself in this spot. And I agree, he's such a people have always called him a quote unquote freak athletically, but
yeah,
his shot. I mean, we saw it at times at Iowa State. He could become automatic at three at times, and it doesn't. Is it textbook perfect looking? Maybe not, but he's smooth.
Right,
it's very smooth. And he creates space for himself great, whether it's, at the three-point line or driving it. It very intriguing, I'd say. And, yeah, I think he's got a really good shot to do some things there as well.
Definitely really happy for all those guys. Excited to see what they are able to do.
And Matt Thomas
winter.
With the new deal, I think.
Yeah, with
is it Valencia?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I mean, that's big-time money and big-time basketball over there as well.
Right,
so.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, in my opinion, Spain is the top Spanish league is the second-best league in the world at this point. I think the G League is probably on its way to becoming the second-best league in the world, but Spanish basketball is about as good as you're going to get in the European countries. But so yeah, good for all those guys. Happy for all of them. We'll be following all of their successes and hopefully not failures here over the winter. And we'll of course keep you guys updated on all of that. Got anything else, man?
I don't think so.
All right. We will talk to you guys again soon. Thanks again to Heartland Flags. If you need to get a flag for your tailgate here coming up in about 6 weeks, you know, Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com is the spot to do it. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys again soon. Peace.